Women's Chavis Halvavas Shir, Wednesday afternoon. Yud Beis Adar Aleph, Tavshanai and Dalid, Shara Bitachon, Wednesday. Yud Beis Adar Aleph. That you're totally calm and you're not stressed out and you're in good mood, cheerful, optimistic. That's part of Bitachon. That's really the definition he gives of Bitachon. The definition is you're relying on Hashem. When he gives the definition of Perek Aleph, he is explaining the ramification of that reliance. We say, oh, relying on Hashem, but I'm still nervous. Well, that means you're not really relying on him. At least not the way, the reliance that the Midah of Bitachon is supposed to inculcate in us. In other words, I'm having Bitachon. That doesn't make any sense, and it's not true if I'm nervous. Again, this is a lifetime of avoda. We work, and we try to get better and better and better. But at the ideal, at the peak, we should know we're working towards optimism and relying on Hashem to do what's best for us. Perek Gimel was how to acquire this, because it's not easy, and as I say, it's a lifetime of work, and we slip back, and we go forward, and we take two steps back, and one step forward, one step back, two steps forward. It's a, life is life, you know, and we're living in a world where Hashem is hidden. We're living in a world where we see cause and effect. We're living in a world of many, tragedies, many difficult things going on. We forget that we have it better than previous generations in many, many ways. By them to have a couple of children, not make it to adulthood was par for the course, was normal. But, you know, every generation has its own challenges, has its own nisyonos. So it's not as if it was easier in a previous generation or it's easier in ours. It's just there is sometimes a lack of appreciation, and that's why you have to go back to Shar HaBechina and say, wow, look what Hashem is doing for me. Look at all the good that I have in my life. But that was Perek Gimel. Perek Dalet is the practical applications of Bitachon, and he says there are seven areas that he'll talk about it in terms of finances. That was one and two, and now we're in number three in terms of relationships. What does a Baal Bitachon, how does a Baal Bitachon cope or deal with different relationships? And the Yesod of the Chovos Halvavos, which we're in the middle of, we started, the Yesod of the Chovos Halvavos, and all kinds of relationships. He gives a whole long list. Parents and children and employers and employees and friends and enemies and acquaintances and those who are above me in the hierarchy of social life and those who are below me in the hierarchy of social life, because everyone has some people above them and some people below them. So he's talking, so what does it mean? So his yesod is, and this we're in the middle of learning, no matter what your situation is, what does it have to do with Bitachon? I'm relying on Hashem that he is doing what's best. This is the yesod of number three. I am relying on Hashem. No, number one was I'm relying on Hashem to give me basic parnasa. Number two is how to deal with monetary issues if I want more than my basic parnasa. What's the juggling act between Bitachon and Hishtadlus, as we call it? Number three is, no matter in our relationships, this is the yesod, and then there's many, many specifics which he talks about at length and goes off at tangents sometimes, as is his custom many times. The yesod hadvorim is that I am relying on Hashem to do what's best for me, to put me in the exact situation where my neshama will have the opportunity to reach its potential. And it's really, and that's bitachon. It's a bitachon issue. I'm relying on Hashem to do what's best for me. That's the key. That's the sentence. I'm relying on, because that's always the sentence. Because you could say, I'm relying on Hashem that the bus should come on time. But then, as I've said many times, there's always a corner of your mind that has to say, And if it doesn't come on time, it means it's not good for me to have come on time. And there's a reason it didn't come on time, but Hashem, see, this is part, this is the, all the seven things in the second perek really all come together. It's not like seven scattered, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It all comes together as, I'm calm and I'm not stressed. That's perek aleph definition. So why? Because I'm relying on Hashem, because Hashem loves me and cares about me. Hashem only wants what's best for me. Hashem is not ignoring me. He knows what's going on in my life. He knows what's really good for me and what's not good for me. And that will include my neshama as well. No one can thwart his plans. No one can help his plans. And so on and so forth till number seven, which is Hashem will do what's best for me even if I don't deserve it because of his chesed. So they really all come together as with this sentence. If the seven things, you can add them up to have a common denominator. It's not adding apples and oranges. It's these seven things, if you think about them and you say, and you know, again, you know, sometimes someone will take the shiurim seriously. It might happen, you never know. And they'll start thinking about it and they'll say, you know, I see I don't really believe this. And I've had this, man. Rabbi? I see I don't really believe that Hashem always does what's best for me. So you gotta stop. Don't work on bitachon anymore. Work on that sentence. And say, okay, why do I have to believe that? How do I know it's true? How do I feel that? Because you can't go any further. That's why he made a list of seven things. If I believe that at times Hashem is ignoring me or too busy to take care of me or, you know, whatever, then stop. I don't really believe that Hashem's looking at me and cares about my puny, petty, silly life. In fact, I don't believe it. He's busy with important things, like who's going to win the Super Bowl. He doesn't care about if my cake burns in the oven. But of course, regarding Hashem, World War II and Medinas Yisrael is as important as and as unimportant in his eyes as you're burning the cake. Hashem is like, so to him it's all the same. It's sacrilegious to say he cares about the Holocaust, but he doesn't care about my cake. It's sacrilegious to say that, because to Hashem, it's all... Hashem is so transcendent and so totally spiritual, and so it's amazing that the world can exist, that Hashem relates to a world with that's finite and that's physical. I mean, that's already amazing. For that we have to learn Tanya to understand that. So we tried a little, then we gave up. And so that's really, so as you think, so it, you know, people say, well, Rabbi, I'm having trouble having bitachon. What you're really having trouble is believing the seven things in the second perek. Maybe. And then after that, you have to have the five things in the third perek. It's not a picnic here. It's not easy. It's not, you know, okay, where do I sign up as a card-carrying charter or bitachon member? It's things you have to work on, and we're very busy, and our lives are busy, and as the world is sinking into, it's harder and harder or less and less common to think. People don't like to think about things. It gives them a headache. They like to listen to shiurim. They listen, but they're not thinking. That's what I was telling someone. Yeah, someone said, well, I heard you once made a rant against listening to the shiurim online, any shiurim. I said, well, not mine. Mine is great. But I said, my rant is against people that listen to shiurim constantly, and they never stop and think about what they heard. So they don't have time to think about it, internalize it, think if they believe it, think if they agree with it, think if it makes sense to them, think what it means to them in their lives. They're just listening and listening and listening. It's a mixed blessing. We know it's hard. It's harder for children to think. Click, click, computers, Windows, at least an Apple, they have to like think a little. In Windows, they don't have to think at all. And now everything's, a guy speaks now on YouTube, he gives a speech about something, there's like images. It's full of images and pictures. Adult Sesame Street. That's what everything is now. Okay, I don't want to get into that. It's hard to think. And we're not used to it. We're not used to it. But that's why you cannot be talking if you don't think, and then you stop. Oh, you know, that's a problem. I'm thinking Hashem is with me, but what do I do if my boss fires me? And I say, he's not going to fire you unless Hashem allows him to. But you know something? I guess I don't believe that really. You know that? That can happen. And it's okay to not believe it in the sense of, okay, let's work on that. If you want to have bitachon, Chavis HaLovas is very structured. It's a beautiful building. It's a beautiful ladder. He doesn't throw... I'm in love with the Chavis HaLovas, as you know. he was, before the Rishonim, such an early figure, way before Rashi, way before the Rambam. And it's just an unbelievably marvelous sefer. And he's so careful. He's so everything built like a building. Anyway, so number three on the list of seven things of applied bitachon is relationships. And the yisod is, I'm relying on Hashem to do what's best for me. So now he says, okay, let's start. He starts the list. A person that's alone in this world. You know, Hashem always does what's best for me. I'm relying on Him. And therefore, I have to see the good in every situation I'm in. Because Hashem is taking care of me. Hashem loves me. Hashem cares about me. You go through, right? We don't, you know, hopefully you get to the point where it's automatic, but if you would have to think it out, that's how your mind would be working. You would say, this is a difficult situation for me. Someone who doesn't have children. Someone who's getting older and not getting married. Someone who doesn't have a good life at home through no fault of his or her own. Because, alright, you have to look at yourself first and see if you're the cause. Because that's already Bechira. And in Bechira there's no Bitachon. But let's assume there's no Bechira. And let's assume you're past Bechira. You're good. You're good. And now, but you're in a situation that's very unpleasant. Or illnesses, or financial difficulties. So, everything, you don't know, someone says, you know, if I were a rich man, Tevye. You know, it's a beautiful song, and it's a lovely song, but it really is an anti-bitachon song. Because there's a reason you're not a rich man. There's a reason you're not a rich man. And if you were a rich man, then you would have the problems of not giving enough tzedakah and not doing enough chesed, and you would become dysfunctional at home because you would become a workaholic. So, and that's not what your neshama is all about. The person with wealth, he probably, I speculate, couldn't handle poverty or couldn't handle even just barely making ends meet. So Hashem doesn't do that to him. Hashem gives each neshama what it needs. So instead of, again, you do your hishtadlus that we learned, I'm going to keep repeating that. You do what you have to do. If you do less than what you're supposed to do, you're also going against the will of Hashem. Because Hashem wants us to act a certain way. So, the girl that's getting older and she's not getting engaged or married, you can say, I'm not going out anymore. Or I'm going to let myself go and I'll get fat and I won't care about my looks. Because what's the difference? I'm not meeting a good boy anyway. And I get depressed and dysfunctional and stop having any ruchniyistic connection. Stops going to shiurim and stops learning and stops davening. You know, you get it's called depressed. You get depressed. So you really, I mean, the mindset, people, right? She has time. It's hard. But this is bitachon. Hashem put me in this situation. As long as I'm doing my hishtadlus, then this is the best thing for my neshama. Maybe Hashem knows I can't handle. I'm a little immature. Maybe. I mean, this is all speculation. This is what's best for me. I have an opportunity now to work on myself. I have an opportunity now to grow. I'm not burdened down by financial burdens, by screaming kids, by nagging husband, and by, right? I'm not bogged down by that. I'm free. So it's not easy. It's not easy. Very, very hard. But you have to be talking. I'm relying on Hashem to do what's best for me. So the Chavis HaLovas says, the first on his list is the person that's alone. And we said last week, You're alone, but you're not lonely. You have Hashem with you, and this is, and he tells us how the Baal Bitachon copes with loneliness. You say, nobody's my friend, and nobody likes me. And so first you have to check your Hishtatlus level, that he doesn't even say. And then you say, after that's done, and you say, I'm okay, you know. So you say, okay, Hashem says, first of all, you're not lonely. You're not lonely. You're with Hashem. Second of all, everybody's lonely, right? Because everybody, when you come right down to it, nothing, all this social interaction is not really what the name of the game is. The name of the game is being close to Hashem. Now, it's true, many times, maybe even more often than not, social interaction could bring you closer to Hashem. You learn how to deal with people. You learn how to respond to people. You become a better person, a more caring person, a more sensitive person. But if you're not in that situation, you say, well, Chazal says, I have time. I don't have to go to weddings. Nobody's inviting me to their bar mitzvahs. And I have time. I have time to commune with Hashem. I have time to work on my tefillah. I have time to do chesed. I'm not burdened by the burden of people who have social lives. I don't have to go out to eat. And, only when I feel sorry for myself, I'll take myself out to eat. Right? So, and then he like sort of veered, and he says, a tremendous mila is that you're alone. You can do his bodidus. Chavisa Mothers is a big fan of Precious and his bodidus. There's no one around. People just, not anybody in this room, Chas V'Shalom. People in this room are great, but other people, they just waste time and they chatter all day and they just, so much time is wasted. And as we learned on Sunday, time is so the most precious thing in the world. More precious than anything. Time is life. Time. Every second that goes by, you're going to live 1 second less. And we talked about Sunday, the preciousness of time and the preciousness of the present. Because people nostalgic for the past and say, when I move, then I'll be good. When I get the kids out of the house, then I'll be good. And the time is always the present, and you have to deal with your present situation and use it to its optimum. So the Lord says the value of solitude is so great, is so unbelievably special. So he says, you can be solitude. It's very hard for a woman for a man, a Baal Mishpacha. He has obligations. So he has to go home, with the kids and this. It takes up a lot of his time. Now, of course, you can turn it around and make everything into Avodas Hashem. You have to work at that, right? You could say, I'm there for my kids. I'm raising Yirei Hashem. I'm imbuing them with Bitachon because I'm talking to them. Maybe they see their father ignoring them a little and he's learning. So they see a father learning. Makes a tremendous impression on a kid. You know, we think, a man thinks, I'm always there for my kids. He doesn't know that his kid's thinking, my father's always there for me. But Shmerel's father goes to a shir, and he's not there 1 hour, let's say, Sunday night, and he's jealous of Shmerel. I wish my father would go to a shir and spend an hour when he can't be with us. That shir is being there for your kid also. How do you know? Maybe you're just running away from the house and your excuse is you're going to a shir. There's no answer. You know, that life is a balance and you come talk to someone and you have to be introspective and you see what your real motivation is. Kavitz Alvavus' point is that it's just absolutely wonderful to be his bodidus and the person who's unburdened by social Matsavim, who doesn't really have friends, and maybe he's even unmarried. We don't know who the Chavis HaLovus is talking about. He's talking about someone who's alone. First of all, you're not lonely. Second of all, everybody's lonely. Third of all, your neshama is more lonely than you are. The neshama is in a strange world. Maybe it has a passport, but the neshama feels about this world the way we all felt when we first moved to Israel. What's everybody jabbering about? I don't understand. How do I live here? Like, I'm so unfamiliar with everything. there's funny street lights, stop signs, one way. I don't get it. That's what the Neshama is saying about this world. I don't get it. People are putting food in their mouths and eating it. Like, what's that all about? I don't get it. I don't speak the language. No one's talking about Hashem. No one's talking about so you feel, so the Neshama is more lonely than you are. And, okay, so he goes through things, and then he says, now he tells, this is what we're up to, he tells a story that's, you're gonna say, that's crazy, that's absolutely crazy. So we'll see, I'll explain why he tells the story. They say a story, maybe it's true, maybe it's not true, it's an apocryphal story. He went to a land, he's going to show them how to serve Hashem. The Imsayim, and he sees funny people. The fashion industry doesn't exist there. Everybody's wearing the same type of clothing and the same color. No fashion, no style. Everybody is drib drab. Maybe it's black, maybe it's colorful, but everybody's wearing the same. And same kind of clothing, same kind of jewelry. Everybody's the same. He's talking about men. Men used to wear jewelry too. Varok, so that's one thing he saw. Everybody's dressed the same. Varok, kivreihim etzel pischa bateihim. They had an interesting landscape on their front lawns. That's where their private cemetery plot was. You look out the window, I'm zeichet to have this in my apartment in Yerushalayim. You look out the window, you see a cemetery. That's how they had it. Everybody had their family cemetery on their front lawns. V'lo b'neihem isha. And there were no women there. It was just men. No children, no women. V'shalo samalse. He said, what's this all about? V'amru lo, mash'anu lo shim tseva echad. The Chavis HaLovers wants to get to the part about the no women, no children around. And before you get... The Chazovus was not misogynist. Is that the right word? It was not. He lived in an age. Now we'd be happy if people would spend time with their families. Right? Now the problem is people don't spend time with their families. The Chazovus was talking about in a normal world where life was normal and values were normal. And you didn't have everything in the world mitigating against every value you're trying to teach, but other Abba society supported your values, and your children grew up with those values, and chinuch was done much in a much easier way. Now, if you're not there for your family, you're abandoning them like on the open seas in a storm. So, but the point, we'll see the point he makes. The point is it takes up a lot of time. And let's be honest, again, I'm thinking from a man's perspective. A woman's like a whole different scene because your ruchniistic alliance is to be with your family. He's talking to a man, but his point is you can relate it to neighbors and friends. Think how much time you waste and think how much time is truly productive and constructive. Now, it's constructive to be friends with people. Chavis HaLovers wants to give us the opposite perspective because he's talking to an alone person. And again, we're relying on Hashem to do what's best for our neshama. So he's saying, look at the qualities of being alone. So anyway, this Porush saw these people there without, so he said, what are you guys doing? So he said, Vomuloi. Mashanu lovesim tseva echad, the lack of any fashion, because we don't want there to be any type of class system between rich and poor. We don't want to have different, the rich person will get a chashav aliyah, and the poor person won't. And the rich person will give kavod to, and the poor person we won't. We want everybody an equal society. We want everybody to be equal. We don't want to treat rich people differently than poor people. Maybe they treated people with more kavod if they were better people, but because they have money, what did that have to do with anything? So we don't want to. You look at a person, you can't tell if he's rich or poor. That's the first thing. That's first of all. And v'shalayova ha'osher lives goals Lizbar Brasha. We are saving the rich person from, you know, from arrogance, those rich people. As Tevye said, when you're rich, they think you really know. Right? The famous song of Fiddler on the Roof that we talked about. When you're rich, they think you really know. That's not so bad. What's worse is that the rich person thinks he really knows also. It's not so bad if other people think you know. Problem is he starts believing his own press clippings. Okay. The other ha'oni lis bazel seitzel atzmo. So first of all, we don't want a class system. Second of all, we want to save the usher from arrogance. And second of all, we want to save the oni from not having any self-respect. Because if you're walking around and this guy's driving a Lexus, oh, a nice car, and has a big apartment, and you're living, your self-worth goes down. So we want everybody to look the same. You can't tell who's rich, who's poor, and this saves all of these things. Vishayidme enyano al ha'adomok enyano tachteha, which is, in the next world, it doesn't matter, rich or poor, you're all the same. So the essentials of life have nothing to do with rich or poor. It's a total, it's a side thing, and it's chitzonius, and it's nothing to do with essentially who you are as a person. But people very much think about someone that's wealthy and throws his wealth around, or even if not, they just look up to him more. And so we don't want that to happen. And we don't want the ani to lose self-respect, and we don't want the usher to become a balgaiva. V'ne'eman, there's another story told al echad me'amlochim on a king, shoyim esayir ben avodav, he would walk around his subjects, v'lo yonikar b'neihem, they wouldn't realize it's the king, because he wanted to, I don't know if he always did this, I don't even know if the story's true, but he did this to know what it feels like to be a person, because at the end of the day, he's also just a person, and he also has the same avodah as a regular person, and he has to be what he has to be. The fact that he's a king is not going to help him in the next world. If anything, it gives him more responsibilities, and it makes his life harder for him. He liked not getting dressed up in fancy clothing, wearing a crown, and having people look at him, putting him on a pedestal. He liked that. So he wandered around, and he was treated the way he was treated, as a person, not as a king. And he felt that was good for him. Okay. So that's why they did that. This is not really, Chazal Vavda's point is not even this, right? Chazal Vavda's point is going to be the being alone and how it can benefit you spiritually. But he's getting up to there. He's telling the story. First, they explained to him why you can't tell who's rich and who's poor. Umasha Samdu Kivus Meisenu Eitel Psalchenu, the fact that we have a funny landscape. Our front lawns are basically our cemeteries, is because we want to look out the window and realize the temporariness and the fleeting existence of life, of existence, or this the existence in this world. Kadesh Nivachach Mayhem, we will look out the window, and you know, so that does a lot of things. It gets you ready, it makes you drop a lot of silly things. And like the mission of Pirkei Avos, right? To do tshuva, Shema Mochar. So, you know, it's hard to remember that. To think of oneself as dying one day is difficult to do. It could be depressing. So we put our cemeteries there and we just look out the window. And we're reminded that Sofa Adam Lomus. And is this really important? I mean, you get angry because a child spilled some milk. You look out the window at your grave. You say, you know, something. What am I getting angry about? So that's why they did that. And that will have Tzedel HaDerech. We learned that also on Sundays. One of the Cheshbon HaNefesh is to think about how you prepare for a trip to the up north. You prepare lunch and snack and something to eat between the lunch and the snack and something to eat between the snack and the lunch. And you plot your path where there's enough bathrooms and entertaining the kids. And think if we prepare so much for that ultimate trip that everyone takes. Okay, now his point is the third thing. Where's all the women? Where's all the children? What's going on here? So you'll say, oh, this is the sect, the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-E-S. No, no, no. He said, Da ki chadu le kiri akrova mikan. We have, they live just over the next hill. They're all there. They're in the village right over the hill, right there. And when we have to go home, for whatever reason, we go home, if it's necessary, whatever, the wife wants us home, the children need us, we're there. When it's necessary to go home, we go. He does what he has to do, but he comes back. Why? Because we see, and again, this doesn't necessarily have to apply. It's certainly not as radical as he puts it, but the yesod is a good yesod. You see, just like a woman says, not a woman, but I'll be a better mother if I go on this retreat, a 4-day spa with a whirlpool and a jacuzzi and exercise classes. So that, and that's probably true. But it's also true to say, I gotta get away, Chavis HaVavos wants us to say, I gotta get away for a few days to recharge my spiritual batteries. I have to commune with myself. Let me go away for 2 days. Now if you can't, you can't. You have an achrayas. You can't go, you have an achrayas. But if you can go away for the spa, not you, if one can go away for the spa, then you say once in a while, you know, let me spend 2 days. I'll go to Kever Rachel, I'll go to Kaisel. I won't have the kids, I won't have to worry about who's serving them supper. I don't know how you're going to work it out. How have you work it out when you go to the spa? I don't know. Work it out. But that's what the Chavis HaVavos, so he says, we realize the people told him, this is radical, and again, nowadays, it's not a, you know. The point is well made. We realize how life is short. We realize how much time we spend. When you're home, again, a woman is a whole different perspective, because the women, the home is their base medrash. That's where they thrive spiritually, primarily. Nowadays also they're learned, so they learn also, that's good, and nowadays they also have careers, which is the way the world went, either out of necessity, or it just is that way. So okay, we accept that, but their primary place, just like a man's primary place is the Beis Medrash, not at work, at home when he's doing chinuch and he's performing his responsibilities and obligations, but otherwise the Beis Medrash is his home, and so to a woman the home is the home. So again, this is talking from the perspective of a man. It's much easier for a man to waste time than for a woman. I always tell you that. First of all, a woman has no obligation to learn Torah. So you could actually sit in an easy chair and relax. And a man is not allowed to unless he's able to say that I need the relaxing time in order to have more kayach to learn and to do mitzvahs and this. But a woman doesn't have that the burden of bittul Torah. She also has to answer for what she did with her life. But also, a woman always has to rest because they're so busy. So they have to rest always to recharge their batteries. His point is well taken, though. He says, we realize how much time. It's like saying, you know, I used to go to a chasana and, you know, 5 hours, for sure. I go, Simchas Chasan Kala, he's a good friend of mine. Do you really need to be there 5 hours? That's what the Chasan Kala wants you to ask yourself. Do I really? Really? But I'm done there 3 hours, or 2.5 hours, or only the first dance. So maybe the answer is, no, if I'm not there the whole time. Okay, but do you really need all 5 hours? So he's talking from a man's perspective. See, he's talking, like, I'll be home, my wife's going to ask me this, my wife's going to ask me that. I don't know if it applies nowadays. Could be nowadays they're not home enough. And they have the men, and they have to be banged over the head to be there more for their families. And maybe, you know, that's possible, but again, it's a question everybody has to ask themselves. Is this relationship, you have a good friend, how much of this relationship is really wasting my time? I mean, it's harsh words, and although this is depicting extreme people, But from the extreme, from the ideal, we learn lessons. And we say, look, there's no way I could ever live in a place and then my wife and kids will be in a different apartment and I'll come home as needed, right? But again, so the man should extract from the Chavis HaLodos to ask himself, do I really have to be home as much as I do? Like, let me sit down with my wife. I was talking to someone yesterday. Okay, I'm afraid if I describe it. He says, I don't have time to learn more than an hour a day. I go, really? Tell me your schedule. It turns out, do you really have to do that? I said, come on. That's not what you're in this world for. You're in this world to do that. So that's the point of the story here, even though it's an extreme story. He says, we realize they tell this parush, you know, when we have to go home, we go home, but we realize how much time is just frittered away, and we don't want that. So his point is this point, the being alone. The alone person, besides that he's not really lonely, and everybody's lonely, and so b'chulu, besides all of that, he has to realize the good that lies in his situation, and take advantage of it, and not just get depressed, because every situation has its nisyonos. So again, he's relying on Hashem that this is what's best for his neshama. Sometimes it's even best for his physical health, right? Whether it's putting on weight or blood pressure or stress, this is what you need. You need to be, every person I say, I need to be where I am right now. Again, you check if you're doing your hishtadlus, you check if you're davening properly, you check if you're maximizing your use of the present situation, right? When do you say, Hashem wants me to make a change? Hashem wants me to be bold? Hashem doesn't want me to be lazy? Maybe Hashem wants me to do something else? I don't have an answer for you. Really, again, you have to go talk to someone. Talk to a Rav or a good friend or a mentor or a Rebbetzin. Someone maybe taught you years ago. You have to talk it up. But that's also a possibility. That Hashem's pushing you to do something, so he's, but that's also good for you. So how do you pick up those messages? We don't, it's very hard. Life is hard. I mean, we're not Nevi'im, right? How do I know when Hashem wants me, I'm having an Nisayon in life. Maybe Hashem wants me to be doing something else. Maybe I should change circumstances. Maybe I should move. Maybe I should go to a different community. Maybe I should, we don't know. I can't answer that question, so please don't ask me. We just take the yesodos of the Chayes HaLavavus and we apply it to ourselves as best as we can. You know, his point here is that no situation is, every situation, I should say, the positive, every situation is tailor-made for the good of your neshama. And that's, you have to apply bitachon. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, and instead of getting depressed or resentful or angry, you say, I'm relying on Hashem that this is what's good for me, and therefore let me make the best of this situation. Let me see how. You go, wow, look how much time I have on my hands. I don't have to, I'm not burdened with a family, right? I'm not burdened with children. It's hard. It's painful. A person doesn't have children for many years. The most, I assume it's like one of the most painful, and everybody around you, it's very, very painful. But we're talking about an Oved Hashem. An Oved Hashem says, Hashem knows this is what's best for me at this point in time. Now, it may be, again, maybe he wants me to increase my tefillos. Like the Imahos didn't have children so that they should increase their tefillos. Did they also say, well, maybe it's good I don't have children now because I could be Megayer as Hanoshim, Sarah said. Right? And that's what I'm supposed to be doing at this point in my life. So Hashem doesn't want me to be saddled with a family. Maybe she did say that. So why did she daven for children? Ah, that's a good question. You didn't ask it though. Why did she daven for children? Because we know it's normal to have children. We know that's the norm. So it's okay to don't get depressed if you're not in the norm, because you have bitachon, that Hashem's doing what's best for you. But you're allowed to daven. In fact, in the back of your mind, it's like, maybe Hashem wants you to daven. That's what he wanted from the Imahos. Chazal don't tell us the Imahos didn't have children so that they could be tzidkaniyos the whole day, and, be osik and avodas Hashem and run the seminary, Sarah seminary, right? Megayeret es hanoshim. Doesn't say that. It says he wanted them to daven more intensely. Okay. So you never know. You know, whatever speaks to you, whatever your neshama tells you. But the point is that Hashem is there and he cares about you and he loves you and all the things in Perek Beis. And you apply them so you don't get sad, depressed, resentful, angry. You don't curl up and just, you want the world to go away. You say, this is, that's all. That's what you have to do. This is being a Baal Bitachon. So he tells this story because those people realize that they're wasting a lot of time. They waste a lot of time, right? So again, everybody has to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. Maybe I have to be home. A woman is, of course, has to be home. Maybe the man also has to be home at a certain time, help. Fine. But you have to ask yourself how much, like I said with the wedding, do I really have to be there for 5 hours? Don't be so free with your time. You'd be there for 4 hours. What's the difference? 4 hours, 5 hours, yeah? Major difference. An hour. That's a lot of time, an hour. So again, a man has more of a pressure to answer that question. But women do their own thing. They could, whatever, they should be home, they should be doing whatever. What do women do all day? Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly true. And she's an Ezer Kenegdo, and he has to be there for her too. Does being there mean to spend hours and hours together? That's the question. I doubt Oda meant that he wants Chava's company. He wants someone to talk to. You didn't mean that. It's not good to be alone because one person, Hashem made the world. It's a binary world. Hashem made the world that to build a bias, you need the zohar to do certain things and the nekeva to do certain things, and the man can't do it alone. No, Hashem said lo tofe yos odom levado. Not Adam.
Yeah.
Adam. Well, Hashem, if Hashem says it's lotov, then it's lotov. At the end of it all, it says, Vayara l'kim es kol asher asa v'ine tov ma'od. You could ask why he first created something and then said lotov. If everything else he created, he said, Vayara l'kim es whatever. V'inei tov. At the end, he says v'inei tov ma'od, right? V'yalakim asar kitov, v'yalakim kitov, v'yalakim kitov. And here, all of a sudden, he's saying lo tov. So, what did he say? I messed up. So that's a good question. I'm not going to answer it now. Why does Hashem do such things where he does something and then he says lo tov? But at the end of the day, it's tov. At the end, right before Shabbos came in, it's Vayar Elokim is Kol Asher Asah, and not just Tov, but Tov Ma'od. The world is a perfect place, and it's perfect for every individual. It might not be comfortable for every individual, because but it's perfect for them, because they have to do things, they have to work on things, they have to become closer to Hashem, whatever the case may be. That's how they explained why they weren't with their wives, again, why they didn't live with their wives. Let's say again, I'm a man. So I'm here, basically, a whole day. So say, do I have to go home every night? That's a question I should have. Maybe I can go home. Maybe I can stay here 2 nights a week. I'll certainly save a lot of time. It's really a very valid question. With me, it's an easy question, because my wife doesn't even want me home. So, I'll be doing that. Just kidding. But that's really, it's a very valid question. So again, you don't ask such a question unless you're a big Baal Madrega, like these Prushim were. But it's a valid question. It's a valid question. Do I have to, you know, as they say, my wife will feel bad, or my kids will wonder why Tati's not home. they'll maybe get scared. They'll think the word separation, chas v'shalom, I get scared. Okay, so these are, but it's a valid question. Do I really need this friendship? Do I really need this relationship? That's what Chazal says. Relationships are a tremendous drain of time and of energy. Now, don't worry, because next week we're going to learn about what the person whose life is full of relationships and they can't get a moment to themselves. So they're kvetching and complaining. So Chazal says, no. This is the best thing for you. You're going to become a better person. You're going to learn how to deal with people. You're going to fix up your benodim lachavero. You're going to learn how to be patient. Okay? It's no stira. You're not playing games. This is bitachon. Every person has to develop their bitachon. I'm relying on Hashem to give me the life that's perfect for me, which might mean being uncomfortable and having problems and learning how to deal with those problems. But to draw closer to Hashem. That's the key word. This is the best thing in the world for me to enable me to draw closer to Hashem. Okay.